This is the Better Life, Better Work show, and I'm your host, Allison Crow. I'm an intuitive life and business coach and an irreverent priestess with modern soul medicine for the everyday extraordinary woman or man, and I'm here to help you create better life and better work. This show covers topics on thinking and mindset, business and life strategy, and of course, spirituality and energetics as well. You're listening to the Better Life, Better Work show. More is not better, better is better.
This is episode number 32, and to be honest, you're going to want to grab a journal or a notebook and a piece of paper and give your full attention for this interview.
What's up, peoples? Allison Crow here, and this is the Better Life, Better Work show. Right now, I have no idea what episode it is, but we'll add that later. But I do know what's even more important than the episode is today we're going to be talking with Shamika Tankerson about powerful and paid. Mm-hmm. So I want y'all to think about that for a second. To me, Shamika, hold on 1 second. Okay, because I'm going to introduce you, but I really want them to think about those two words, powerful and paid, in the same sentence. And I want you to think about, what does it evoke for you? Does it open you up and get you excited? Does it freak you out? Does it trigger your hiding response? And I want to tell y'all how I've danced in different circles with Shamika online, and she came in, you came into Tiffany's group and shared the video about this event that you're doing. And I watched that video and I wanted to crawl through it and sit in your lap as a grown ass woman. I can't go to your event, but I was just like, it was not the production of the video that got me. It was the power. And so I want to introduce Shamika Tankerson. And Shamika, I want you to introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about, like, not your elevator speech, but just tell us your intro. And then we'll wrap.
Awesome. Well, hey, everybody. I'm Allison. I'm super excited to be here. Like, you were like, let's jump on. I'm like, come on, let's do it. Here's the deal. The event's called Powerful and Paid for a reason. I work with really powerful women. Mm-hmm. I work with really powerful women who have been diminishing their power for too long. And my weapon of choice is sales. Mm-hmm. So I use sales as a very powerful mirror for them to really start to give themselves permission to show up powerfully and be okay with, like, their true desires and the fact that they make money.
So can you give me an example, like a client example?
Yeah.
Tell me a story.
Yeah, I have so many clients. Okay, so I have so many client stories. So I have a client who, when she came to me, she has a PhD and multiple degrees, and she's won numerous awards, and she has been published in her publications for, you know, the work that she does, which is psychology, mm-hmm. psychological journals, all of this stuff. But when it came to, like, switching it over to consulting and selling herself, there was this quiet, mousy thing about her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she would doubt whether or not somebody would pay her. Or, you know, can I charge that much? And then she gets a client. And so I'll just put it out there. This client's like a 5K client. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks into it, this client is like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. My life is changing. And I get a message from her. And the message says something like, I don't know, maybe I should add some sessions to this. Maybe I should not charge as much because this is so easy. And I'm like, is a client happy? She's like, yeah, she's amazing and she's ecstatic, right? But there's something inside of her that says, you didn't work hard enough, because that's what high achievers mm-hmm, do, mm-hmm. to be compensated at that level. You need to be exhausted, burned out, frustrated, and then you can be compensated. It can't just be easy. So that's one example. Mm-hmm. It's very hard. I find that most women who have achieved a level of success, who are super brilliant, have no problem selling other people. But when they start to sell themselves, that's when all of the undercurrent starts to show up and it starts seeping through, because then it's about them. Am I worthy enough? Am I valuable enough? And I'm like, girl, when I look at your qualifications, they are through the roof. And yet here we are having this conversation about whether or not you can charge as much as you want to charge. And it's because they're afraid of the judgment of, do I look money hungry? You know, it's my gifting. So maybe I should be giving it away for free. And a lot of that's learned in, for me, in church.
It was learned from me, right? In church.
You can't sell the gift. The gift needs to be, you need to be used and abused for your gift. It needs to be given away all the time. I mean, there's a place for that. I'm not saying don't be a giver. By all means, giving is the most powerful place you can be in, right? But there's also a space for you to be, for you to receive and be well compensated for the transformation that you provide.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me pause real quick. Do you have headset close by? It's not doing it now.
I don't.
Okay, we won't worry about it. We'll just go slow. I noticed the reverb happening that sometimes happens on VLive, but it's not happening right now. So we're good. Okay, let me ask you about this, these undercurrents. I love that you use that word. The coach I'm working with uses that now. So we have these powerful women. I call them recovering overachievers because I am one, right? And we have these undercurrents of pleasing people. Why do you think... what is it about? What is the undercurrent of these super powerful women that are still in people pleasing and self-denying mode? What is some of the healing balm that you help them see?
Yeah. Well, I think often we don't realize that there's some shame around stuff coming so easy for us. Right? I mean, how often, Allison, if you're an overachiever, you've probably heard this before. Someone who tells you, oh, it's just you. Like, you do that. Like, it's easy for you, Allison, you know, but everybody else has to work for it. And you're like, I work my behind off. I just make it look easy.
Yeah.
Right? I do it gracefully. And so these, when you hear these sort of sayings of, hey, tone it down or give everyone else a chance, and that starts in like elementary school, preschool, you're raising your hand too often. You're like, I know the answers. I'm like, well, we'll give little Tommy a chance, right? And so these things keep getting reinforced over and over again in our throughout our lives to the point where we just start to behave that way. And we morph into a people-pleasing person, a person that goes, okay, well, let me look around the room first and see if anybody else has an answer before I raise my hand. I know I'm guilty of that, right? A person that goes, well, if I walk into a room and I'm too strong, other people might feel bad about themselves. And so let me hunch my shoulders a little bit or put my head down or not seem as confident as I am. And all of those undercurrents, if you're running a business, they start to seep into your business and how you interact with people in sales situations.
I love the tie into sales because I think that owning a business is one of the biggest personal growth things in the world. And I was just talking to my clients today. I have clients that range from like brand new vision stage to some that are in super achievement stage, right? That have been doing this stuff for years, and then a whole bunch in the growth. And we were specifically talking about getting time on task coaching. And I was talking to them about the boring hard work. You know, nobody goes up and puts up a Facebook ad that says, hey, by the way, I'm in the middle of getting 2000 hours of free coaching to get my skills, right? And I said, so the good news is you get to do that and build your confidence in your skills. And then guess what comes? They kind of merge into each other is learning how to sell, right? Because I know great coaches, healers, artists, and they're so intimidated, like you said, about selling themselves. Themselves. And sales. So in contrast, I look at my husband who taught for 30 years, 29 years, actually. He's retired now. And he recently went to a car dealership and applied for a job as a salesperson. And he goes, I know they're going to think I've never been in sales, but I've been selling stuff to sixth graders for 30 years. And I love that mindset. Like my husband wanted to speak at Blog Her conference. It's Blog Her conference, and he's a he. And right. But I remember him being real new, and he just did not have that doubt. And he gets rejected. He writes and submits articles, and he talks to rock and roll managers and tries to get free tickets so he can write about them. And he gets told no all the time. And I'm not saying he doesn't get hurt, but my experience of myself and my clients is we don't even try because we've we've lost something.
Yeah. Hmm. I think it's a women thing. I think it's us.
Yeah, it makes sense.
We feel deeply, right? So I think rejection like cuts. Like his no, it's a no to the question that he answered. Mm-hmm. A no to us as a woman is like a no to us. Like when somebody says no, it's like, they don't like me. What about me? What did I do? Right? There's mm-hmm. something wrong with me. And we mm-hmm. internalize it so much that it does cause us to, we start to buffer against it. So we won't even try things. We won't even ask for business or we won't put a price tag on it because we're already making up in our mind how it's going to play out. And we have vivid imaginations.
You know, funny?
I always tell my clients, is it real? Is that the truth? They're like, no, it hasn't happened. But I've just assumed that if I say this, she's going to say this, and then this is going to happen. I'm like, that didn't happen. Yeah, I think it's a us thing.
I just had this huge insight. So I've always thought of myself as a risk taker, but I usually take risk on something I'm pretty sure I'll be able to handle. You know, it might explode along the way. And then I don't even want to take a risk at things I don't want to do. But this reminds me, in high school, I played basketball and it was really good for my 3A school as all-state MVP. And a lot of people played high school basketball and volleyball. I would never play volleyball because I thought I was so bad at it. And so this is something that high achieving women do, is we absolutely will go and be the best at that thing we can do. And it's really cutting ourselves short, because where when we can grow into, well, I may not be good at this, and learning to manage and hold the discomfort of two things, of failing and rejection.
Yes.
Those two things have set my business, I don't want to say on fire, but it's like, oh, okay, I'm resilient. That's my security, not my being loved.
I think it's funny that you said that too, about us not trying things that we think we might fail at, because I think as high achievers, we oftentimes forget, we're so used to winning at a certain level and we set the bar so high for ourselves. There's an illusion that we're not that great at something. When most high achievers, anything they do, they're outperforming the majority of the world, period. Even when they feel like they're not winning, they're actually pretty good at it, or in the top percentile of the thing, even when they're not even trying that hard. So that illusion keeps us stuck from going to like the next levels of whatever it is that we desire, because we don't set goals that we think we might fail. Right. We won't raise our rates to a level where we think people are going to reject us. Mm-hmm. We don't ask for business from the rock and roll, you know, type clients out there, because we're like, oh, well, I'm not ready for that yet. You know, that's the story we tell ourselves.
Well, and we don't, I'm thinking, there goes the reverb.
There goes the reverb.
Usually if I slow down, if I stop. Nope, there it is. Are you hearing it? Or am I just crazy? Yeah. Okay. I don't know how. I'm learning how to. I don't want to say I don't know how. I'm learning how to give myself credit in a loving way instead of a prideful ego way. Mm-hmm. And so my ego is the one that says, oh, you shouldn't brag about that. And that I'm learning. Brené Brown talks about joy and how, I mean, shame over, quote, negative things is one thing, but we don't know how to express joy and celebration. And so learning how to just to be so kind and sweet with my successes, and not like, oh, I'm better than you, but like, well done, Allison, I'm proud of you. And saying that inside gives it. So that's one of the things I want women to know, to get their power, is like, the power is not just going, oh, that's not me, but it's going, yeah, I did work really hard, and not defending that we didn't work, but yeah, I know it looks easy and I put in the time on task. I know you don't see a lot, but I'm so proud of myself, and to be able to do that. And something shifts in the energy, because we're not defending ourselves. We're not victiming ourselves anymore, but we're now allowing ourselves to stand up in that power. And that calls forth sales. That reverses where the sales start coming in, where people going, I got to work with you. They don't even know why yet. Yeah. It's not the copy. Mm-hmm. It's the energy of holding that power.
Yeah, I totally agree.
How are power and profit connected? Because this is the other thing. I'm having so much fun saying I love money. I used to have so much shame around money. And I had, you know, everybody's got their different money things. And one of mine was that rich people aren't nice. Well, that is not true. I know lots of really good rich people. And
right.
I do good things with my money and I be good people. So every time my PayPal dings, I'm like, oh, money, I love you. I'm so glad you. And another thing in church, we were told in church that money is the root of all evil. Well, money helps people do a lot of good.
I always tell people, I'm like, you can do a lot more with money than you can broke. You can help more people.
You absolutely can. Well, I used to think this was kind of cool. I used to think that like one of my deep whys that I don't talk about a whole lot because my sister is private, but my sister, my little sister has three kids and her oldest daughter is 16 and she has a genetic condition called Rett syndrome. And I have this story in the back of my mind that someday when I'm making XYZ amount of money, I'll be able to put aside, we can't give her certain money because she'll lose benefits that she needs to have. But I was like, well, what I could do is I could hire two full-time health, you know, I could use a lot of money to hire these two health care worker, home health care workers for. But, you know, that's going to take me making so much that I can afford to give a salary to somebody for $120,000 a year. And then the other day I shared this GoFundMe and my sister never asked for money. My sister is the one giving money. My sister is busy raising money for the kids at the border with disabilities and she never asked for money. And a life or death situation happened with my niece where she had a device that did not alarm the people that needed to be alarmed because the device failed. And they realized she has to have a service dog. Well, service dogs are $40,000. And so they're working through a different program, but I put out a GoFundMe and I said, I never asked for anything, but if this pings with you, contribute. And all of a sudden, a very large majority of the contributors to this campaign, and I don't talk about my sister. She's private. She didn't post pictures of her kids. So I just keep it out of my public persona. Next thing I know, my clients, my fans that are not my clients are giving hundreds, hundreds, hundreds of dollars. And all of a sudden I was like, and I don't mean to make it about me, but when I'm thinking, oh, I have to be rich to do good. Wow. Just getting out here and doing my work has created a path to contribute to this kid without me having to make millions, which gets me excited about, yeah, I'd love to still do the millions, but the everyday work, right? We don't have to wait until we have to start now.
Right. Yeah.
Those people may never pay me to be, but they were saying thank you. They were receiving the work that I give for free and because they were looking for a place to give. And some of them sent me a message, said, I'm so glad you asked for something because I don't want to be your client, but I want to give back. So power and profit, powerful and paid. Tell me what that means for you now that I've told you a story about me.
It's okay. I love that story. I think it's an absolute example of where powerful. Your power comes from because it comes from who you be, right? We often are looking for, right?
Yeah.
We're often looking for power from the outside, right? The validation of somebody saying, hey, Allison, let me crown you the powerful guru authority or whatever. And we forget that inside of us is the very essence of like everything that we are, the super powerful person that we are. And while we're looking for validation on the outside and morphing ourselves, it really comes from trusting yourself. And it's in not the action that you're doing, but being who you're being inside of the action. And that essence of who you're being, it draws to you all the right ideal clients, all the right resources, the people who would love to support your sister's GoFundMe campaign. And I think people miss that. We're so busy trying to look at XYZ person over here and go, oh, let me make my stuff look like her. Let me behave in the way she behaves during her live streams. And we don't even realize we're actually repelling those people to whom I believe are a divine assignment for us, a divine appointment, the people who to whom we are the answer to prayer, the people who they are looking for a solution and they cannot hear it from anyone but you, Allison, but me or whoever is watching this. You have a way of saying what you say about a way of being that is attractive to their energy, that is attractive to who they are. When you own that power, when you stand in that power and do not diminish it for anyone, that's when they begin to show up and rally behind you. It doesn't matter how you write it, how you say it. It's not about scripts and templates and strategies and all of those things. It's about you allowing yourself to be 100% of who you are from the moment of creation, like who you are, you're who you were created to be, every part of that. And it's not all like lollipops and rainbows, right? There's pieces of me that, you know, I have dark sides of me. I have beautiful light sides of me. I have powerful sides of me. I have meekness inside of me. And it's me falling in love with every part of that. I have quirkiness inside of me. And I have an extreme amount of power where I'm able to, you know, hold myself, and I can do, I've done things in my life that I never thought I would be able to do because I was able to tap into that driven, courageous side of me. But then there's also opposite sides of that. And I'm okay with all of it. 100%. And when you can be that too, I think that's where there's a straight line to profit for you.
Mm. Do y'all hear that? Like those of you watching and listening, it seems like there's this either or out in the sales, the not sales world, but in the marketing world, right? Come listen to my three steps. If you have, you can have the three steps, you can have all of Russell Brunson's funnels and so and so. And I think that stuff is great and helpful. I know a lot of people that have made money. And it's who you be. And I have been experimenting with Facebook ads. I actually haven't, no, it's no more experiencing. I've been doing it since May. I've spent a truckload of money. And it's funny when my being, so these ads are going, they're running the algorithm, right? Mm-hmm. No lie, no exaggeration. If in ordinary life, my being is constricted, a client will not come through those ads. And the second I release it, they will come through. And it has, it's like that who I be affects even the algorithms and the technology. And then of course, once we get, as we get the being going, we do, I believe we do have skills to add and address, but if we're adding those skills without looking at the being. So I just want people to hear that because sales can be beautiful and sales is such an amazing vehicle for not only getting your work out and impact, but for really beginning to stand and own our gifts. And that's what I hear that the work that you're doing with people, you know, where it's probably 80% this, it's the power comes and then opens the doors to profit because yes. It can't help but do it.
Yeah. I have found in my work, if we ditch all the strategic stuff, because most of my clients have invested out the wazoo, they've bought all kinds of stuff and high level masterminds, everything. Mm-hmm. And whatever level they're at, they're stuck. And they don't know what gets them past that. Mm-hmm. And in that undercurrent of not owning their power, there's also a certain amount of fear that they're going to be rejected, right? And I would say 90% of the work I do is in this being part of it. Mm-hmm. Whenever they come to me and tell me about a sales conversation or, you know, something didn't go right, we go back to, okay, so what was really happening with you in that? Like, were you intimidated by the type of person you were having the conversation with? There's all sorts of things that's happening in the undercurrent. And I don't think we give enough attention to the being part of it, enough attention to allowing ourselves to 100%. And I'm not saying authenticity, like, oh, be your authentic self. That's not what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. There is just an enormous amount of power within each and every one of us that we sometimes hide, like that that song, hiding under a bushel. No,
I'm not a child.
Or Marianne Williamson's, our deepest fear, right? It's not that we're inadequate, but it is our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. And that seems like an oxymoron, that it's like, well, no, I'm not, you know, fearful that I'm super powerful. Of course we are. We don't want to outshine people, right? We've been taught to not outshine.
Our brain is conditioned for that little comfort spot. It's not conditioned for expansion. Expansion is a choice, and it's not conditioned. Yes. It's conditioned to stay safe and comfortable. And the other thing I hear you're doing, you are helping these people hold their emotions. Because I think in traditional sales, at least the way I was raised in traditional sales, it was like, fear doesn't matter. Make the call anyways. I call it the big swinging dick club. But you know, fear doesn't matter. And you push through and just dial for dollars. And we're not, what I hear that you're doing is like, you're holding the shame, blame, and guilt. We're learning how to feel the discomfort. We're transmuting it. We're not just covering it up with an affirmation. We're not just covering it up with action, but we're really softening the heart, holding space for the shame that might have been created when we were 5 or 6 or 15 years old, holding the fear of if I'm super powerful, everybody will hate me or whatever it is. Yeah, just, and that emotional, helping people, I call it not outsourcing discomfort, holding the discomfort, mm-hmm. transmute mm-hmm. to me that lights fire. And I hear that element in your work. Oh, that gets me excited for people in sales in general.
I think it's all a part of who we are, right? Mm-hmm. But we are taught to stuff feelings down. Mm-hmm. We are taught to, you know, it's not okay to feel all kinds of things, right? But I believe there's lessons in everything that we feel. Mm-hmm. And if we can, like you said, transmute that, if we can hold it and transmute it, we'll find out so much mm-hmm. about what we're capable of and about who we are being or who we're meant to be. But we have to have the courage to do it. It's yeah. not simple or easy, but it's doable if you're willing to do it. If you don't run from the discomfort of feeling what you're feeling and doing that with a client, I believe that sales is powerful. It's a powerful conversation that's happening because of that, because I believe that both parties, there's a level of vulnerability. Mm-hmm. I can't say that word half the time. You guys know what I'm saying, right?
You said it perfect.
That is required from both parties. It's mm-hmm. not just them trusting you and them being vulnerable and you getting them to cry on the phone and all of this other stuff that you hear people talking about and, you know, helping them look at their fears. You guys are coming face to face. You have to let go and say, hey, I see you. Let me allow you to see a little bit of me because I want to show you how to get to where you want to go. That requires you to let go of pretense. That requires you to let go of, you know, who you think you need to be so that they will think that you're the authority. And in those moments, there's a trust that's created. And when you can create that trust, then you can create the believability inside of the other person that this is actually possible for them. And then they can anchor it with commitment, which is them paying you. Mm. And you could be okay with receiving that because you know there is going to be an exchange, a powerful mm-hmm. exchange.
Yeah. So you talked about, you know, being with their heart, them being with your heart and story. And I would love to hear how you got here, because the way I know these things work is usually we are teaching it and leading it because we are growing it. So I just would love to hear a part of your story that about getting here, why this matters so much to you.
I think for me, this has been, it's been a journey, a long journey. Not one of those overnight success kind of stories, in that it's been work to allow myself to peel the layers back and remind myself that every part of my journey is necessary and has meaning and purpose, and I don't have to be ashamed of it. So one of the biggest moments for me in really owning the work that I do and how I'm meant to do it was when I lost everything in my business. So I had a business doing really, really well. I lost it all, and I began, you know, the mad dash as a high achiever to try to like get back on track, and it just wasn't working. And what I didn't recognize is that it wasn't working, not because I wasn't doing all the things, because I was going through the motions, but I had internal conversations and an undercurrent going on within myself that said, I'm a fraud. They're going to find out I lost everything. So while I want you to pay me and I want to have clients, I really don't want you to pay me, because if you come on the inside, you're going to find out who I really am. Mm-hmm. And so it just wasn't working. And to the point where I ended up in the welfare office. And the welfare office is not like a cliche, oh, from welfare to whatever. Here I was, a woman who, I was born into the welfare system first and mm-hmm. foremost, to a teen mom. So welfare was a part of that. I ended up becoming a teen mom. Welfare was a part of that. But then I went to college, got my degrees, built a multiple six-figure business. And from that, I made this inner vow to myself that I'd never go back. Mm-hmm. And then I found myself there. again after losing everything.
Isn't that funny what our brain does? Our brain goes back to what it's comfortable.
Yeah.
I keep going. It's just amazing to me. Yeah.
And so here I was in this office because I needed to feed my babies and feeling an extreme amount of shame. Mm. Why am I here? I don't belong here. And just ready to just like, okay, right? And I just remember in that moment feeling supported and surrounded and audibly, almost audibly, just hearing a voice saying, this is not it, Shamika. You've got to fight. You need to get up. This cannot and will not be the end of your story. And of course, in that moment, there was a lot happening, but I went back to retrace that defining moment for myself. And what I realized is that in that moment, I gave myself some permission slips, some permission to own and be and do a few things. And that's what shifted things for me. And here's what I recognize. I can share the permission slips if we want to do that.
Yeah, but what I recognize. You gave yourself permission to do and be.
Awesome. Then we'll talk about that too. What I realized in that moment is I thought that I had to have a persona that people wanted to invest in or wanted to hire. And if they knew anything about my loss, my setbacks, my disappointments, and that made me weak or that made me, you know, not as powerful, not as good at what I do. And what I know now is that who I have become because of those things, like I thought they were my kryptonite, but they're actually my superpower because who I am now allows me to be something for my clients that I could never have the capacity to do without those experiences. I know what roadblocks they're going to hit before they ever hit them. I see them coming a mile away because I walk the journey of being smart, powerful, super cool, brilliant, all of those things, and then having an immense amount of shame behind not being where I thought I should have been in life at a certain time. And so for a lot of my clients, it's not that they're suffering or that they're in the welfare office. It's that maybe they're still at six figures in their business when they thought they should have a half a million or a multi-million dollar business. And they can't figure out how to get past that point. And there's shame around that. There's shame around looking around and seeing them being 40 and seeing somebody who's 20 with a multi-million dollar business who just came on the scene 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Right? There's shame around that.
I felt that.
And so who I am allows me to walk them through that journey and hold them through it as their most powerful selves. Not, oh, baby, I know what you're going through, but I see you. I see your brilliance. I see your power. I see your authority. You have got this and you had it yesterday. You have it again today and you will have it tomorrow. Just keep going. Mm-hmm. So that's how I got here, but I want to share those permission slips. Can we do that?
Yes. Oh, please.
Let me grab this real quick because it's got something I want to use. So when I went back in hindsight, and this is like the body of work that I work with my clients, but guys, if you're listening to us right now, grab a pen, because I want to give you this gift. That changed everything for me. And it's continually something that I go back to keep myself honest, you know, with who I'm being in the world and what I desire and the difference that I want to make in the lives of the people that I'm called to serve. So the first permission slip that I wrote for myself was permission to trust my value. So remember, I lost everything and I was feeling like a loser, right? I was feeling like my failure was getting the best of me and I couldn't win for losing. And I was taking, you know, one step forward and 32 steps back and going around the same mountain over and over again. And to me in that moment, it felt like that was getting the best of me and I had no value to bring to the table. But in honest truth, what I figured out is that all of those things are the things that make me powerful. So this is what I grabbed. This is a dollar bill, right? Mm-hmm. So this dollar bill, how much is it worth?
$1.
So if I ball it up, how much is it worth?
Still worth a dollar.
If I rip it more.
Still.
How much
still
is it worth?
A dollar. Still worth a dollar.
If I slam it on the ground, stomp it on my feet, roll over it with my car, drag it around town, never lifting my foot up, how much is it worth?
Still gonna be a dollar. Make you holla.
Still gonna be a dollar. That's one of the biggest gifts I ever gave myself, is realizing that no matter what I go through, my value doesn't change. My worthiness doesn't change. My worth does not change. What I have to contribute actually grows in value, mm-hmm. because I have the life lessons from all of those setbacks, failures, disappointments, all of the things that I thought made me less than or not worthy to be paid a certain dollar amount, or to have a certain caliber of clients, or to have a business that brings in a certain amount of revenue, are actually the exact things that are going to draw those people to me that I'm meant to serve, that will be the catalyst for allowing me to get there. So that was permission slip number one, trusting my value. Number two, this one was interesting. Because do I do that? And it's owning my expert status, right? Mm-hmm. And you talked a little bit, Allison, earlier about not talking about your accomplishments for bragging, or, you know, you don't want to be braggadocious. You don't want to boast. And so, you know, when you're a high achiever, you're used to winning. So winning comes and you're proud of yourself and you want to, but then you're winning often. So people start to tell you, like, don't toot your own horn too much. One thing I recognize, though, is no one else is going to toot it for you.
Mm-hmm. Write that one down.
And so when we don't take time to celebrate our accomplishments or our wins, or claim the fact that we are great at what we do, like, I'm a total badass at what I do. Like, mm-hmm. let me get my hands on my ideal client's business and they will be transformed. I know that I know that I know, but there was a time in my life where I would never have said that. Never, because I didn't want anybody else to feel bad. So I took a page out of somebody's book, and I want to ask you a question. Who is the greatest boxer of all time?
Muhammad Ali. I float like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
No hesitation. No one has ever proved me wrong. I ask this question a lot.
Just he ran around tooting his own horn.
Right. That's my next question I always ask people. Who said he was the greatest?
I'm the greatest.
He started saying he was the greatest, and then it went into the world and everybody goes, he's the greatest. In mm-hmm. fact, he said, I said I was the greatest before I ever knew I was.
Absolutely.
He began to speak that over his life. There is no invitation to play on the big kids playground, to take a seat at the table. You're waiting to get to a certain level in your business before you start going after the superstar mm-hmm. clients. And you're waiting on, you know, to have so many followers before you start charging a certain amount that you want to charge. I'm not saying, you know, we're going to slap zeros and charge people out of the wazoo. What I'm saying is there is a dollar amount that you know your work is worth that you're not charging because mm-hmm. you've been afraid. And because you've been playing the waiting game, you're waiting mm-hmm. on permission. You're waiting on somebody to crown you with the authority, to deem you the guru, when you know for a fact that you know your stuff and that mm-hmm. you're a total badass. So take a page out of Muhammad Ali's book and own your value, own your expert status, claim that mm-hmm. right now, starting today. Mm-hmm. If you look in my page and in my client's page, they're always talking about the results they get. That's what we do. It's uncomfortable for them. It's mm-hmm. uncomfortable for me. Every time I get ready to press send on a post, I take a deep breath. I'm like, here she goes again. Boom. This is what I did today. This right. is the result. This is right. So as more than uncomfortable, because here's what happens when you do that. Remember when I said, if you don't toot your own horn, who will? People don't know what you can do until you show them and you mm-hmm. tell them. So mm-hmm. own your value and go for the big stuff, and don't be afraid to tell people loud and proud, mm-hmm. here's how I can support you, and these are the results that I get. Mm. Third one, and this was a big one for me, because remember, I was out there pretending to build my business, doing just as much as was comfortable to say I tried. That's the truth. Mm-hmm. And I had to get really honest with myself. And so that permission slip was, okay, Okay, you're here and you're saying you don't want to be here sitting in this welfare office, but the reality of it is that you're here because of you. No one else. You are responsible for the results that you're creating in your life right now. So that permission slip was to sell more. Stop hiding in plain sight and sell more. And it is uncomfortable to ask for the business to the degree that I do and that I teach my clients to do, but it is what has changed the game for me. It's changed my life and it's changed the lives of the people. It's why when I watch my videos or my client testimonials or when I'm in a room with my clients, sometimes I'm just bawling because I remember and I still know the decision that I have to make every day to show the heck up and not be afraid of saying, hey, I see you. I can support you. Let's have a conversation about it. So ask for the business more often than it feels comfortable. Mm. And show up visibly asking, not in secret, mm-hmm. not in pseudo message me post, like literally telling people, this is who this is for. This is who I'm meant to serve. This is who's going to get the result. This is how much it costs. And this is how you buy. Mm. 9 times out of 10, when someone tells me they don't have the results that they want, if I go look through all of the ways they say that they're marketing and selling their business, it's non-existent.
Yeah, you don't see the time on your
social media pages. Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, I've been asking. I've been posting about my event. And, you know, and I go and we look and I'm like, still scrolling 2 weeks later, still scrolling. Here it is. 30 days ago, you posted an invite to your event. Oh, it just felt so recent. So do it more than it's comfortable for you to do, but be visible and loud about it. It is okay. People who you're meant to serve that can pay you will never know until you wave a flag that says, hey, I'm over here. I'm the one that you've been praying for. Mm. And this is how we get results in my camp.
Do y'all feel that power? I'm just soaking it in. And I can see so many areas in my own life over the last week. I had 2 people the same day say, you are everywhere. And the old part of me shrunk down like that was something wrong. And I was like, yeah. I also got 10 clients last week. Did you get 10 clients last week? Right? And it was like, wait a minute. I am everywhere. Because when I am somewhere, I help you. I inspire you.
I love that. The
paid part is a totally fun benefit, but you bet I'm everywhere. Oh, I love that. Don't listen to this woman.
The meaning that we assign to stuff that people say to us, though, they said, you're everywhere. And you're like, oh, wait. Am I doing too much? Right? Am I everywhere? But then it's like, I'm everywhere because it's necessary. And you got 10 clients, right? So those 10 clients needed you. And if you weren't everywhere last week, yesterday, guess what? They may not have gotten the answer.
I've gotten to where I'm so willing now. It took me a while to get here, but I've gotten so willing to, like, the analogy is that my personal profile is almost up to the 4,000 point, and I'm trying to figure out what do I want to do to deal with that? Do I just want to go self-select some people off? Because I've learned in the past that there's some watchers out there that pay big money. They just don't engage. Mm-hmm. But I was like, do I want to just, you know, there's an option now to take your personal profile to a business page, but it's the same kind of thing. It's like, I am bigger than this 4,000 people. And if it is not for you, it is okay for you to go away. It is okay for you to spend your time and energy because there are people that want to hear it. And so I actually, there are certain things I do on first dates, so to speak. I did them when I was dating and I used to have the F word on my homepage. One person said, that's why I hired you. I don't correct my typos too often. But there are things that I do that are supposed to be perfection, but for me, they're weed outs. If they bother you and I love that. Listen to the people are like getting the kick in the ass truth. Stop hiding and sell more and fall in love with selling. Can you tell this woman loves selling? And it's so funny. People have that old view. Talk about the story. They have that old view of what selling is. And right. My friend Christine Pereira, does sales for introverts. And she's like, yo, we sell all day long. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't we? Oh, right. So the 3 permissions: to trust my value, to own my expert status, That workshop about a year ago, I started saying, I'm your favorite life coach. And I put my yellow heart. And people are starting to say, oh, this is my favorite life coach, Allison. I've decided I am the world's favorite life coach. Ilana. Awesome.
Ilana. I love it.
I do too. And guess what? I'm coming for you, baby. There's room for both of us. I'm your favorite life coach. And then talk about the results you get. Talk about the results you get. Brag. Brag on yourself. No, I love that word, toot. Nobody will toot your own horn. Sting no, like a butterfly. No, float like a butterfly. Sting like a bee.
That's right.
I'll start singing myself in the morning.
Shirt. I found this shirt that says the greatest. And I'm like, how cool is this? Oh. Just that reminder that I am the greatest. Because that's what he said.
I want you to come be a member of my community just because I want your mojo in there. I love this. Okay, so let's do this. We're closing up on time. This has been super fun. Like I said at the beginning, the way that I got to this interview was actually Tamika was selling. She was sharing a video that she had made for this event she has in September. I can't go. I've committed to take care of my dogs while my husband goes out of town. I want you to tell them about your event, Powerful and Paid.
Yeah. Most events are structured for you to come in, and there's usually a lot of people in the room, and you're usually inundated with knowledge. Mm-hmm. In my camp, I'm about results and the doing. Mm-hmm. And so it's an intensive. It's 3 full days. And the premise of Powerful and Paid is to get you into the being part while doing. Mm-hmm. I want you not only believing that you can absolutely create the kind of business that you want. For most people, it's like, where is my next 6 figures going to come from in my business? And 6 figures for me doesn't mean it's 6 figures annually. You know, I've had clients do 6 figures in 90 days. I've had clients do 6 figures in 60 days. I've had them do it in 6 months. I've had some people take 2 years. It is what it is, right? But that clarity of knowing who you be, who you do it for, and why you're the best person for the job, and why getting this deep, powerful knowing that your work is worth way more than you are charging for it. So on day one, we spend a lot of time really uprooting the stories behind that and getting you to step into your badassness and getting you to really look at the value of the real work you do. Not the I'm a life coach, I'm a business coach, I'm a, you know, whatever you do, I'm a consultant. It's what's the real work? And the real work is based on the essence of who you were created to be. It's the thing people pay you for. Mm-hmm. And then moving into like, really, how do I communicate that with people? How do I package it? How do I price it in a way that's in alignment with my clients saying yes to themselves and getting results and the transformation that I provide? And let's be honest, the lifestyle that we want to live. So this is for people who aren't afraid to say, I want to get paid, right? Yes, I want to make a difference in the world. But I know the more money I have, the more of a difference I can be. And so please let me figure out how to do this the right way. We're being honest with what we really want to create in the world, what our real desires are. And then I'm going to teach you how to do sales like we're talking about. I'm going to turn you into a money-making badass. Like sales is really just a powerful exchange between two people. Mm-hmm. You can ditch the scripts and all of like, how do I overcome the objections? And then when you can really be with somebody in that conversation and see them and allow them to see you and get them to that moment of belief, that moment, sales happens that in that moment where they believe what they desire is truly possible for them. That's when the yes happens. Mm-hmm. And I want to show you how to do that very powerfully. So it's September 27th through the 29th. And
in Palm Springs. Where do they find out about it?
Palm Springs is beautiful. We're going to be in a beautiful environment. I'm only taking 10 women because I really want to get my hands on your business. We're going to be in the doing of the work. You're going to walk out of there with your plan to add 6 figures to your business at a minimum in the next 12 months. And that confidence and that certainty and courage to actually sell your stuff without shame, guilt, apologizing, all of that stuff. I want you to own the power of who you be and the difference you make for people without second second guessing yourself, without doubting that it's possible, and without apologizing for it, without being ashamed of it. So five spaces are gone. There's only five spaces left. And I guess we need to give them where they can get more information. Yes. So I'm going to give you a bit.ly link.
Okay. I'm going to type it in the okay. Show up thing.
Okay. So bit.ly/powerfulpaid and capitalize the words powerful and paid.
Okay. All caps, the whole word, or just the first letter?
Just the first letter.
Okay. Powerful paid or powerful and paid. Sorry.
Just powerful paid.
Okay. bit.ly powerful paid. That's mm-hmm. it.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. Is that right?
Yep. That's it. Perfect.
Now follow her on Facebook. I still have two more questions to ask you about Better Life, Better Work before we go, but I feel so invigorated. I feel so empowered. I feel taught. I feel filled up today. I have some action steps that I can't wait to implement. I hope y'all do too. So before we close out, I'm gonna hide my name. I'll keep her name up there. But before we close out, I would love to hear, what are your two top tips off the top of your head for better work? We'll do better work first and then better life.
So better work for me is practicing working on my courage muscle. Mm-hmm. I have these things I do called courage experiences. And I recognize that if I can be courageous in one area of my life, I can translate that into another. So I CrossFit, which a lot of people don't do, but it shows me who I am when my body is like, my back's against the wall, I'm super tired, and I can get up and I can do one more burpee, one more lift, one more, I can run another 200 meters or whatever. I really get to hear my mind chatter. And it's the same mind chatter that used to stop me when my business was struggling. And it helps me to work on that. So I believe when you work that muscle of courage, it becomes easier for you to realize, oh, this is the same feeling, because the feeling doesn't change. It doesn't matter what you're doing. When you're afraid, the feeling of fear is the same feeling of fear. Whether it's, I'm afraid to show you that I just got a new haircut and I think it might be ugly, or I'm afraid to jump out of a plane, right? It's the same feeling and it comes from the same spot. Or I'm afraid to ask for the money in the sales conversation. Now that I've practiced it by jumping out of a plane, which I did, or doing CrossFit and pushing my body to the limit, or whatever it is that I choose to do in these courage experiences, I can translate that into my business by saying, you know what? I want to go for bigger, better clients. I want to be bolder in what I ask for in my business. And that fear comes in and I'm like, oh, we remember how to do this. My soul knows how to navigate this. And then we just take the same steps. We step mm-hmm. right through it instead of being stopped by it.
My soul knows how to navigate this. I like that. Okay. So courage muscles was better life. No, that was better work.
Better work. Yeah.
Okay. You better have another work. Better work or just that one? I don't know why I always ask for two, but one is good. One is good. What's your number one for better life?
My number one for better life is be gentle with myself.
Oh, I just love you. Could you just come over and hang out with me this afternoon? Be gentle with yourself.
Yeah. I feel like I've been my worst critic for most of my life. Giving myself this illusion that I wasn't winning when I was winning all along. Mm-hmm. And just reminding myself of the journey it took to get to the place that I am in right now, and savoring this moment. Yeah, there's somewhere I want to be, but instead of like fast forwarding to, okay, now let's get to the next goal, like really sitting with the Shamika I am today and the things that I've accomplished today and owning every part of that, and relishing in those achievements. That has changed my life, because before I was so stressed out, right? So just being gentle with every part of who I am and giving myself grace, just be gentle and gracious. And it's okay for me to make mistakes. It's okay that I don't always have the right thing to say. It's okay that I don't, you know, feel like smiling today. If I don't want to mm-hmm. smile, I don't smile. If I do want to smile, I do. It's okay. It's all okay.
I love that. My heart is just so open to receive everything you've said today. A lot of it is what I teach, but it feels good to receive it too, right? Like, just to have your words and your expression and your gorgeous pink lips against that yellow background, that just, that I may have to change my business colors. So cute. Let's take a breath together. As we close out, I'm just sending the intention that the angels drop this message for whoever needs to hear it. I believe in, I call it sacred contracts, and I believe those divine appointments too. That's one of the things that gives me courage about, it's like releasing prayer flags into the wind, and you hang them out there and the wind is in charge of carrying it. And I feel like spirit is in charge of carrying the messages, the insights, the anything that anybody gets. Mm-hmm. And already I feel like I've gotten so much. Thank you for being with me today. Anything else you want to say before we close out?
I just want to thank you for having me. Like, this was so fast, but I feel like we're like sisters. Like, we've known each other forever, and I never take it lightly if somebody opens up their community to let me speak into their lives. So I appreciate you, and I appreciate all of you guys for listening. And I just want to encourage you to allow yourself to just be in whatever version of yourself you're being right now. That is the most powerful way that you're going to make more sales. The most powerful way you're going to get more clients is just to own who you're being right now. In owning that, it actually will accelerate your becoming the woman that you desire to be.
Thank you. And so I am going to wrap us up by saying, I have the most incredible, supportive, brag-worthy community called Soulful Success. As long as you have a heart and are gardening a business and your life, you are welcome. I don't care if you're new, if you're experienced. We are a giant circle of mostly women. There's a couple of amazing men in there. And the energy of powerful and paid is one of the things I am growing in that group. And so anybody who's watching, I want to invite you to check out AllisonCrow.com/success. One of the things that I have done on purpose is I have made it a price where you can come and let this be like a community center or an office or a church, but there's still money left over for you to invest in other areas, invest in events like Shamika's, or invest in other classes that you want to. But this is a home base for heart-centered business owners. And we do a lot of what you said, 80 to 90% who you be. And then we tack on a little bit of consulting and kick them out the door to go out there and share their heart and show their work. So I want to invite you to become a member of our community. It's not a linear program. This is a place of belonging. Thank y'all for watching, for listening. If you are listening on iTunes, we totally appreciate shares and reviews and spreading the word. I don't know about y'all, but I'm gonna float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, powerful and paid. That is me. Holla!
Hey, holler! Oh my gosh, I love you, Alice.
This show is Leroy Brown and Clementine approved. They're here to encourage you to think about adopting before you shop for your next pet. More is not better, better is better.